You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
I want to thank everyone for joining me today for Modern Ultrasonic Debridement and Aerosol Management for COVID and beyond. Now, I know obviously right now we are looking at, in this interim, in the short term, that we're going to be having minimal aerosol producing procedures for this. But I wanted to be thinking of the long term as well. And I wanted everyone to be able to be planning and be preparing for what it's going to look like after that. And I want everyone to be comfortable with their ultrasonic scaling skills and their aerosol management going forward so that when we are back to work and utilizing these, we're feeling effective and safe in doing so. So the million dollar question, you know, what is hygiene going to look like during COVID and beyond? Obviously, none of us have that crystal ball. Again, some of us are back to work. So, you know, some people have that sense a little bit more than others what it's going to look like. Obviously, it's going to look different for different people, depending where you are, depending what your state and your provincial guidelines are going to allow you to be doing. I think it's safe to say, though, that the majority of us are going to be limiting our aerosol producing procedures for a while. So our polishing, our airflow debridement, our ultrasonic scaling, you know, is going to be set aside for a little bit. And I know with that, many hygienists are cringing at the thought of hand scaling only. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm right there with you, but we have to persevere through that and push through and know that we're going to be doing this for our patients and they need us. So very important. I know that we can do it. And I hope that through this webinar, I can just give you a few more tools for your toolbox to be able to feel like you can do this more effectively and safely when you can go back to work. So life without ultrasonics, you know, cue the tear down my face. I know a lot of hygienists are feeling the same. You know, we rely on our ultrasonics a lot. And what is that going to mean for our hygiene appointment? It is going to mean an increased time to get that same job done. So, I mean, obviously we know we're not going back to business to normal, you know, seeing that 8 patients a day, but we're going to need longer to get the same job done. Hand scaling takes longer than our ultrasonic use on that heavier cases. So we want to be thinking about ergonomics for the hygienist and that clinical strain. Our bodies have been off work for a while and that muscle memory, you know, has been gone. And now we're hand scaling and it's hard ergonomically. So I'm going to cover some, you know, adjunctive tools that maybe we can implement to help our hygienists with that as well. And something that I'm really sad about, the compromised biofilm debridement. I think for a lot of people, it's not something they really think about, but literally in all of my lectures and my courses that I teach always come back to this concept and the concept of thinking of your calculus removal as being different as your biofilm debridement. And we know it's so, so important that the mouth is the portal to the rest of the body. And those periopathogens can enter into the bloodstream and they play a critical role in systemic inflammation and disease. And so now being known that we're not going to be doing that mechanical biofilm debridement, what else can we be bringing into that hygiene appointment to as an adjunct to our scaling and root planing for our patients? So thinking about things like maybe you're going to be utilizing a local antibiotic for those active periopockets more than you were before. Maybe we want to look at host modulation therapy, so something like a periostat for our active perio patients and our high-risk patients. Just something as simple as our home care. Obviously, home care is always important, but during this time, maybe we can finally get our patients to be motivated to buy that water pick that you've been recommending for the last 2 years. Bringing in lasers, laser bacterial reduction prior to instrumentation, probiotics, oral probiotics, all of those are great adjunct to our scaling and root planning. That's going to help our patients during this term and knowing that we're going to maybe not do quite as good of a job of our biofilm debridement as we could when we had the airflow debridement in our ultrasonic tools. All right, so ultrasonic debridement, when we get to that point that we can pick up our ultrasonic scalers again, we want to make sure that we're going to be using them effectively and efficiently, not only to minimize the exposure of our risk with aerosols during COVID, but obviously we want to make sure that we're going to be having good clinical outcomes while we're doing that, and also for patient comfort as well. So how are we going to get the most out of our ultrasonics? Lots of different factors with this, but I'm just moving my screen over here. It is essential for the clinician to operate the ultrasonic scaling device at a minimum effective power for the task at hand. Proper tip selection is a critical step in the implementation of effective and efficient debridement without having unnecessary root damage. So it's a very important concept. We're going to get into this in a little bit in greater detail for sure. So our tip design and our selection, we're going to talk about our tip diameter, our tip shape, our geometry, and our profile. These are all the points that we're going to talk about here. So we all are aware that we have varying levels of inserts. We have a standard, which is our traditional, our thicker insert. We have our slim, and we have our ultra slim. So one thing that I want to talk about is what I notice when I work with teams and clinicians when I'm doing my coaching and consulting is there's just a lack of insert selection in most clinics. Now, I don't know if this is because maybe there just isn't the budget for our clinicians to be getting the instruments maybe that they're wanting and requiring. Maybe it's just, you know, a fact that our clinicians just don't know what they don't know. Maybe they've gotten in their comfort zone, they're using an insert that they're comfortable with, and they just haven't stepped out of that comfort zone, and they forget that our varying inserts are of importance. So one thing, you know, that I see on both sides of the continuum, on one hand, a hygienist might only be using the standard and using a selection that's meant for moderate to heavy calculus, and they're using it on all of their patients, even on those light calculus and biofilm patients. Or vice versa, you know, on a heavy case, they're only using their slim lines, which we know we need to be stepping up in that insert. And we're going to get into that in more detail here. I implore you to think about the fact, though, would we use one hand instrument to scale the entire mouth? We wouldn't, would we? We wouldn't use an anterior Gracie to scale our anterior teeth and then head into our posterior deep perio pockets. We just wouldn't do that. So the same concept goes with ultrasonic scaling. We need the right instrument selection for the area that we're working in and the kind of deposit that we have. And what I find is that most clinicians will adjust the power to control their output instead of selecting the proper tip diameter for the job at hand. So we need to remind ourselves that we always want to be using the minimal amount of power for the task at hand. So let's go through our tip selections here. So we have our standard, it has the greatest mass. It is the widest in diameter. It's referred to as the traditional tip. You know, this was the original back when ultrasonics were developed, and it is utilized for moderate to heavy calculus. So I really want clinicians to be thinking, if this is your insert of choice and you're utilizing this on light biofilm debridement or, you know, just granular calculus, we know that it's not the right selection. We want to have the standard insert for our moderate to our heavy calculus cases. And our slim, this is reduced in diameter by 30 to 40%. It comes in a straight or a curved option. And we want to utilize this one for light to moderate calculus and biofilm debridement. So great for that concept. Again, clinicians, if this is your insert of choice and you're trying to attack that moderate to heavy calculus and, you know, tenacious spicules for someone that hasn't been in 10 years, you will be ineffective. And what you'll tend to do again is you'll adjust that power as opposed to adjusting your insert selection. And now obviously we know we have the ultra slim. It's the narrowest in diameter by 40%. We can get it in a straight geometry, and again, it's utilized for light to moderate calculus and biofilm. really great for adaptation in tight contacts and deep narrow pockets in a straight anatomy type area. So our tip shape is very important as well. We have a rectangular or a circular shape. Our rectangular shape is beneficial for scaling heavier and tenacious calculus. So we really want to think about the shape going forward as well. And then we'll get into our geometry. Our geometry is probably, in my opinion, the greatest concern when choosing your insert. We are aware we have a straight or a curved. Now, this affects a clinician's ability to access the treatment site and to make adequate contact with the surface to be treated. So what does that mean? It means if we're not choosing the right geometry for the area at hand, then we're just not going to be able to adapt and get into where we're thinking. So, you know, if we could actually flap every patient that we saw and we could see that adaptation of our ultrasonic insert, we would see if we're trying to use that straight geometry on a posterior curved root area, we're just not going to be adapting and having effective clinical management of that biofilm and deposit removal. So we need to remember that not all teeth are created equal. If you have a look at that odontogram, reminding yourself that anterior teeth and posterior teeth are two totally different anatomy and morphology, reminding yourselves where all of those precations are. So again, think of that concept. Would we scale the entire mouth with only one instrument? We could, but we sure wouldn't do a very good job. So think of that again with your ultrasonic inserts. Obviously, a straight tip is going to be great for straight anatomy, and our curved is going to contour really well around our curvature of posterior root areas. So we'll get into our curved left and rights. Now, these are designed to optimize instrumentation and biofilm disruption in specific areas. And that area is in root surfaces that are located more than 4 millimeters below your CEJ. So I want to talk a little bit more detail on left and rights. This is probably, for me, in working and with talking with clinicians, the number one concern is left and right inserts are being underutilized pretty much on a whole. So if you have a look there, that top picture, you know, really, really shows you that our curved instruments are so critical when we're working on that posterior morphology. We can see that if we had a straight, we just wouldn't be adapting to where we needed to go. So when I ask clinicians, you know, what is the reason that you're not using your left and rights? There's always two answers. Number one, it's either that they don't have any and they just said, I don't know, we just have never ordered them. I've never had, you know, I used to use them at my other office, but we don't have them here. And the second answer is, and this is usually the more common answer, well, actually we have them, they're in the drawer, but I don't feel confident or I don't feel comfortable using them. So that's concerning to me because, you know, in my mind, I feel like, okay, we obviously need some better education out there. We need some hands-on education for hygienists to be learning why they need to be using these left and rights and how to use them so that they're confident and they're comfortable. Because to be honest, if we're not using them, like I said, I feel like that comparison is picking up that anterior gracing and trying to go at a deep periopocket. You're just not going to do a really good job. So, and then there's a small percentage of clinicians that are utilizing the left and rights, but they're actually utilizing them backwards. And it's always quite eye-opening. You know, a clinician has an aha moment in a hands-on course where, you know, I hear them whispering, oh my God, I've been using these backwards all these years. So again, I recommend and I employ clinicians to, you know, when we can get back to hands-on courses together, search for a course that you can have some hands-on work and you can feel comfortable and confident in utilizing these in your practice. Very, very important. So I just want to touch on frication. So a lot of times I get the question, okay, what is better, ultrasonic scaling or hand instrumentation? And to be honest, my answer is in terms of clinical ability, they're both going to do a good job, except in frications. So we need to understand that in some frications, the opening of the frication width is actually smaller than what our Gracie or our standard instrument can get into. So in that situation, I absolutely believe that the ultrasonic scaler is going to adapt and get into those areas better. Otherwise, you know, I recommend ultrasonic scaling over hand instrumentation, you know, obviously to use in conjunction, but you know, why hand scale everything when it's better ergonomically and a little bit easier on our bodies to combine the two? So again, obviously right now we're going to be hand scaling for a while, but when we get back to that, definitely feel comfortable with your ultrasonic use. All right, so our tip profile is very important as well. We have a straight, which is one bend, we have a triple bend, and a double bend. The profile refers to the number of bends in the shank of a straight tip, and it facilitates your access. The triple bend is for improved adaptation around line angles and interproximal spaces. So when you think about it, as the number of bends in the shank increases in the length of the terminal position decreases. So a straight or a single bend allows for access in a deep pocket, but the length of a triple bend is reduced. So for clinicians, and I see it all the time, they're like, oh, I love my triple bend. It's my favorite. I use it everywhere. And I say, so, you know, you're going in right now into that 5 or 6 millimeter pocket with your triple bend. We need to understand that is limited because its length is reduced. Our triple bend is meant for shallow pockets and supragingival areas. And a lot of clinicians just are not putting those concepts together. And again, you feel like, you know, you're sub G and you're working and you're along there and you feel like I'm doing a good job. But if you could flap away those tissues and really have an eye-opening experience into where that's adapting, you are not going to be getting into those posterior deep pockets where you should be. Okay, our tip selection obviously is dependent on deposit as well. So if we have a look at our pictures, there are obviously two different kinds of cases. We have our biofilm and our light granular calculus, and we have our heavy calculus there. Now I can see all those hygienists, you know, looking at that calculus, you're getting excited, you want to jump in, you want to scale that off. You know you've been off work for a while when that picture excites you. Obviously we need to understand calculus removal requires a higher degree of force than biofilm disruption. So keeping in mind, on a case like that top one, heavy, moderate calculus, standard diameter tip is required to remove that kind of calculus. And on the bottom, our biofilm and light calculus can be attained and achieved with our slim diameter. So once our proper diameter of the tip is determined, the contour of the treatment site will determine the shape and the geometry that you're going to require next. So thinking, where are you working? What kind of anatomy are you going to be working on? That is how we're going to select our insert. So let's talk about our technique here. It's very, very important on the angulation of your technique. We want to be between 0 to 15 degrees to the tooth surface. Now, as close to 0 degrees as we can, but never over 15. We want to make sure that we're having light pressure and that it's constant and it's varied in direction. So we're going to go over vertical or parallel and our horizontal, oblique sometimes, but I'm only going to go over the top two here. So our vertical is like positioning like a probe. Positions the active area of the tip parallel to the long axis of the tooth, and the point is directed to the base of the pocket. So really great for access into a deep pocket. You know that you're going to be able to get into right to the base of a pocket there. And our horizontal orientation is primarily used for interproximal instrumentation. So it positions the tip horizontal to the long axis of the tooth, and it facilitates it using the back and the face of the tip. Okay, let's talk about our working stroke here. So working stroke is very, very important. I want you to picture, you know, you see that tooth and picture having a very fine point pencil and you are shading that in every square millimeter. That is the concept that we need to be thinking with our working stroke. It needs to be bi-directional and short and overlapping and constant. So one thing that I find is it really, when you think about it, in order to optimize the effectiveness of the ultrasonic action or your scaling, the working stroke needs to be deliberate and methodical in intent to make contact, again, with every square millimeter of that root and tooth surface. So I find incomplete channeling is usually the reason for insufficient calculus removal. So I also want you to think about the concept, again, of calculus removal and biofilm removal as two separate things. It can take 30 to 60 seconds for proper biofilm debridement at low power after you've done your ultrasonic scaling for deposit removal. Again, a concept that not a lot of clinicians are thinking about, you know, they're powering through and they're thinking about their calculus removal, and that biofilm debridement is really the important part when we're thinking every square millimeter of that ultrasonic insert needs to be adapted to disrupt that biofilm properly. Okay, tip wear, very, very important. So monitoring the wear of your ultrasonic insert is key to ensuring its optimal performance. When you have an insert and it is beyond that 2 millimeters of wear, you've lost 50% of that active area, you're at that point at a 50% loss of efficiency. So again, quite a common thing that I find when I'm working with teams, I can actually sometimes tell from across the room. I can see that ultrasonic insert should have been recycled a while ago. So I feel like hygienists are forgetting to check their inserts, or maybe they just don't have a program or protocol in place. Or maybe it's that they know they need to be replaced, and again, they just don't have the availability to order new ones. So with that being said, I hope that everyone's going to understand the concept of why our tip wear is so important to monitor and to replace when needed. So what happens is people increase the power setting to compensate for the reduction in their performance. And this is ineffective and it's not recommended. So what this does is it creates more patient sensitivity and it reduces your clinical performance and it actually creates more aerosols. So if our whole concept is trying to reduce our ultrasonic use and our aerosols as much as possible, let's get the right tools for the job at hand, and that way we can achieve the best desired outcomes in a faster and a more efficient way. So it's good for the patient and good for the clinician. Okay, let's talk about HVE for hygiene. So not a new concept, obviously. I think when you think HVE for hygiene, there's a lot of people that are underestimating or forgetting that this always has been recommended. In some provinces and states, it actually is mandated that we should have been using HVE and hygiene even prior to COVID. So why is it that the majority of our hygienists were always using their low volume suction? And the reason for that, and because I'm a clinician and I can absolutely agree, it's hard as a single clinician to be using that as a single operator. You know, the dentist has their assistant and they have their rubber dam, so much easier to control their aerosol. But in hygiene, and I'm not going to lie, the kind of old technology that we had for HVE was poor for hygiene. It was terrible ergonomically, long-term to be using that day after day ergonomically for repetitive strain. It was cumbersome. It was frustrating to use. It grabbed the lips and the cheeks and, you know, patients got frustrated, clinicians got frustrated. So what happened is people gave up. They put it down and they picked up their low volume again. And what I want to say right now is we do not have the luxury to do that anymore. We have to be using our HVE and hygiene. And with that being said, I'm excited to share with you that there's lots of good options now for hygienists to transition into HVE effectively and easily for the long term. So what are some of the things that we want to think about for HVE for hygiene to be able to utilize it day after day? It needs to be effective, obviously. A good HVE will reduce 90% of aerosols at the site. We want it to be lightweight for ergonomics for our hygienists to prevent preventative strain. Can a single operator use the device? Obviously, that's important. Not very many hygienists have an assistant with them. And we want it to be mobile. We have to adapt that working area to be 6 to 15 millimeters away from your working site with your ultrasonic insert. So, you know, can we move it around? Is it mobile? Okay, so when talking about aerosol management, I'm going to get into a few different topics here. But the one thing that I want to let everyone know is expect to be frustrated. If you're not used to using an HVE, expect to not like it over the first few times or the first even few weeks of using it. And just know that you're not alone in that. Everyone's going to be feeling the same. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to put it down and pick up your saliva ejector. But just know that practice makes perfect, and keep at it and keep practicing. And I promise you, you will get to the point that you'll actually think back and wonder to yourself, how did I do, you know, ultrasonic use without my HVE before? So keep working and persevere through it. So HVE can be 90 to 98% effective in aerosol reduction, but that is only when you have your motor, your lines, and your user effectiveness are all in order. So, you know, it doesn't really matter if you pick the perfect HVE tip or management system. If the rest isn't in line, then you're not going to be effective. So what are some of the things that can cause your slow suction or affect your suction? We want to be maintaining and checking all of these things prior to going back to work, or if you're back to work already, have your technician check these. The pump maybe is undersized for the amount of operatory. So maybe before your doctor was the only one using it and your pump was set up for that amount of operatories, we want to make sure that you've had that checked. You know, is it performing to its capacity? Maybe the pump is old. It's like anything. It's like people, we all decrease in efficiency over time. Maybe that pump is old and it needs to be replaced. Have you been maintaining it? Has your technician been checking its effectiveness? Have you been, you know, running the lines? Maybe you've got some buildup of fluoride varnish, things like that. Double check all of these things prior to going into HVE use. Okay, we're going to get into a little bit of the fun stuff here. So I want to preface this with saying, I'm going to give you some clinician testing. This is not a laboratory testing. It's not a company that did this. This is me. This is my clinical opinion. And I'm proud to say this is an unbiased opinion, okay? I know that it can be very frustrating, and I saw over and over in the threads hygienists asking everyone's opinion, you know, what's the best, what should I be ordering? I understand that it's not feasible for every office to order one of everything and give it a try and then make a decision. So that is why I did this, actually, so that I could share my knowledge. You know, I've been doing this 19 years, you know, I have a lot of experience behind me, but I had the opportunity to have one of everything so that I can give you hopefully just a little bit more education so that you can make an educated decision on what system or HVE port might be working the best for your needs. Okay, so before I start the video here, I'm going to just let you know why I did this and what exactly we're looking at. So what I wanted to do is give you a good visualization of just the aerosol capture for each HVE option. Because when we're in the mouth, and I found this myself, when you're in the mouth working and you're comparing two different options, you don't have the whole picture. When we're working in the mouth, we are looking at how good is it for retraction, is it easy to use, we're noticing the fluid control and the saliva control, but to be honest, you're really not actually noticing your aerosol capture very easily. And because of that, you're actually not really able to see a large majority of your aerosols with the naked eye. So unless you have a dark background and you have a bright light shining on it and it's really showing you those aerosols, it really puts to light what is working and what doesn't work in terms of aerosol capture. So that's what I found. I actually, in the mouth, I had two systems I was comparing. And in the mouth, I actually thought, you know what, these are very comparable. I would say they're equal. And then when I went out of the mouth and just focusing on that aerosol capture was very eye-opening. So I hope that this will help. So the first one is our multi-axis HVE. A lot of hygienists actually like this one. It has a slight curve. It's got the little hole so that your tissue doesn't get stuck and you grab the tongue and the cheeks as much. One thing I did notice is every now and then the aerosols actually would escape from those little holes. Okay, the next one, we've got our standard HVE. This is our typical, you know, what our dentists are using with their assistants. Very good capture. Now, I went away and close to show you when we are that 6 to 15 millimeters is our ideal position. And the minute that you back up or you come far, you're noticing the aerosols are everywhere. This is the Trecovac. It's an angled, wide open bore HVE. It is flat on one side so that it helps with retraction. It does have an angle on it. Very good at aerosol capture though. Probably the best out of all of them. It is a little bit on the bigger side though, so some hygienists might feel certain areas it's a little bit cumbersome. Okay, we've got the Newbird Direct. This is the Newbird directly attached into the HVE. Now it has holes on the front and the back, so I try to move it to come from both sides, and it didn't really make too much of a difference, depending. As we can see here, this one is not grabbing the aerosols very effectively. And now we've got the PureVac, another system here. It's an open bore with a mirror as well. And again, when we're far back, not very good, but when we are up close, really good aerosol capture with this one. Okay, so I'm just going to give an overview here. So I broke it down into two different sections. So our standard HVE options that can go directly into your adapter and then into the systems, which what a lot of hygienists were trying to compare the two between our Newbird and the PureVac. So if we are strictly looking at aerosol capture, then we are going to give the PureVac our number one from our Newbird and PureVac looking at a system. If we are looking at our just standard HVE tip, then the Trecovac one on that one. I mean, they're all quite similar, but in terms of just that little bit better aerosol capture, the Trecovac one on that one there. So I want to go into a little more detail on the two that hygienists are mainly considering in terms of in the hygiene room. So the PureVac is one and the Newbird is the other. So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail here. The PureVac has its own hose system that it attaches directly into your HVE adapter. the hose is 69% lighter and 130% more flexible than your traditional hose for your HVE. So I love the hose, very, very light and easy to use. It has a fog-free mirror that they say increases visibility. I'm going to give just my own personal opinion on the mirror. To be honest with this one here, the mirror and the way that it's adapted and it's on an angle actually makes it quite difficult to utilize in a lot of areas in the mouth. So I would say I'm going to choose the PureVac over having good aerosol capture, not so much because I'm thinking, oh, wow, I want this one because it has a mirror on the end. So keep that in mind if that's something that's very important for you to have that mirror. Really good for anterior work, but on a lot of areas, just that angle is just not quite right. I love that it's also quite a reduced noise level compared to a lot of our HVE options. And then our new bird. So the things that I loved about the new bird, and to be honest, in the mouth, the new bird would have been my preference in terms of ease of use. I love that it's the mirror is just like a typical mirror. You feel like you can use it just like you would your standard mirror. Right now, though, like I said, I feel like we don't have the luxury for just thinking about what's going to be easy for me to use. I think our number one consideration should be aerosol capture during this time of COVID and our concern with that. So in that situation, the new bird, unfortunately, wasn't the best in my opinion in terms of aerosol capture. But it doesn't mean I don't like the new bird, absolutely not. I think there's a great place for the new bird for many other procedures that are not quite so aerosol producing. Great for sealants, for your assistants or hygienists to be using with sealants. You can actually adapt it right into your low volume section and utilize it that way. Instead of having to put down your hand scaler while you're working and grabbing your suction when they need suction, you can actually have it together right there. So lots of places for it, but in terms of utilizing it with like airflow debridement and ultrasonic use at this time with our risk of COVID, I feel like there's better options. I wanted to give everyone kind of an overview or an insight, you know, because a lot of the times you're trying to decide, well, you know, I have a budget, what am I looking at in terms of investment and my five-year investment? So I did your initial investment and all the way up to your five-year investment here. So I'll go through just quickly. The standard HVE is your typical. It's about $13 for 250 of them. So if you're using about six a day, that's going to be $1,560 in a year, and over a five-year investment, about $390 per room. Your multi-axis, that was the blue one with a little bit of a bend. That one is a little bit on the pricey side in terms of a disposable typical HVE tip. That one's $19 for 100. And so again, in a five-year investment, that's going to put you at just about $1,500. The TrecoVac is, it actually comes in a disposable and an autoclavable one. So the cost here is for our autoclavable. You can get 25 of them for around $11. And you're sterilizing them, and that's coming out to about $13 for a five-year time frame. So again, if you're in a position where, hey, I'm not going to be ordering one of those big systems, you know, I'm really, short on cash, but I need something for my hygienists to be able to keep them safe in the interim, then this maybe potentially is a great option. I'm going to give you some adjunctive tools that we can utilize if that's the way that you're going to go, so that we can make our hose lighter and more ergonomically friendly for them. And then if you're deciding between a PureVac or a new bird, about just under $200 for the PureVac system. And each mirror head and suction tip is sterilizable, but it's only lasts about 100 sterilized loads. So you're going to throw that away after 100 uses. So over a five-year investment, about $1,000. And the new bird, quite a bigger investment initially, but you're not going to be throwing the tips away. Now you're just replacing the mirror head on there. And so about a $900 investment over a five-year time frame for that. So a lot of you are probably thinking, well, why didn't I talk about the relief or the dry shield or the iso dry? The reason that I didn't include that, number one, in the cost or in the visualization videos is because I do not recommend these systems for your primary aerosol capture. So these are great for retraction. They are great for pooling water and for saliva. But they are not meant to be used in terms of your only aerosol capture, especially for hygiene procedures. And the two reasons for that, number one, we could see from the video, the moment you were farther back than that 15 millimeter area, your aerosol capture was minimal. So if we can't move that around and adapt to our working area where we're at, it's going to make it difficult to have good aerosol capture everywhere. And then where those little holes are, the sides of the holes, just is not drawing up enough air to be able to capture our primary aerosol. So a great concept to be used in conjunction with our proper HVE, internal HVE, but on its own, I would highly recommend not for hygiene procedures. So I want to get into adjunctive tools because, as I said, ergonomics and ease of use is going to be very important for a hygienist to switch and to want to be utilizing these long term. So I'm going to talk about two different systems or tools here, the Cordis and the Aflex Assist Arm. So the Cordis, if you haven't seen this before, it's a wristband that goes on your wrist and they come in all different sizes. They hold all different kinds of cords. So you can have a size that adapts to your Cavitron cord. You can have the larger one there. It's called the pivot. That one is your high evacuation actually clicks right into that and it pivots. So it makes it very weightless for you. It's reducing that drag and that long-term strain. So there's no pinching or bending in your cord, which is good for your devices. It's adjustable. It's they're autoclavable, or you can wipe them down and disinfect them. And very good for price comparison in terms of other things, $25 to $30. So this is a really good tool, I think, that we should be looking at for, again, long-term transition to HVE for our hygiene teams. I'm just going to show you a video here. This is the CEO. She's actually a hygienist herself, Debbie, and she just does a little demo video here.
Okay, so now I'm going to show you how it is during patient care using the Cordis attachment for the ultrasonic scaler, the attachment for the HVE, and also the attachment for the high and low speed cords. So once again, I'm going to be using the mini. This is a little bit smaller cord than most ultrasonic scalers. So I'm going to use the mini attachment, and instead of putting the cord directly into the slot, I'm going to just simply slide the mini into the slot. And I'm ready to go now with the ultrasonic scaler. If I want to use the HVE, I'm going to go ahead and take the hand piece, just like I did with the ultrasonic scaler. I'm taking the pivot and I'm snapping the pivot right into the pivot wristband. Now I've got the ultrasonic scaler and I've got the HVE and I'm ready to go. So I'm ergonomically sound in both hands and I'm infection control conscious using HVE. Okay, so when I'm done with that, I'm gonna go ahead and snap the pivot out. Once again, these attachments stay on the cords. And then I'm going ahead and slide the mini out of the wristband. Again, this stays on the cord. So I'm done with that. And the beauty of the Cordis wristband, it's designed to house different size cords. So there's not a cord or a hose that it won't accommodate. So now we go into the slip. If you want to polish, or if you're a dentist, you're going to be using this for maybe a crown prep for any length of time. You want to take the weight off. The high-low is going to attach to this cord, just like the pivot attached and like the mini attached. It stays on, it has the inner cylinder, this slides directly into the Cordis, and you feel cordless with your high and slow speed cord. Again, you have all the power, but none of the weight. And I want to add, if you notice, that the cord here is not being crimped. It's nice and stable. A lot of times with...
Okay, so really a great product. Definitely check them out. I'm going to go into the Aflex Assist Arm as well here. So if we look on the far right-hand side, we've got the Assist Arm. Now, this product was actually fairly new to me, but I'm in love with it now, and I really think that it's going to be beneficial for our hygiene rooms. So it's like having an assistant in the room. It attaches, and I'm going to show you a video here in a second, but it attaches to the back of your chair, and it's going to be holding your low-volume suction for you. Because one thing that we need to remember, and I think this is part of the frustration for hygienists when they move into HVE, they're frustrated that they're still having to grab their suction because it's not grabbing the water. Our HVE is for aerosol capture, and we still are going to be needing our low volume suction for our fluid and our saliva control. So you're still going to need that. So hygienists don't have three hands, people. So this is going to do that job for you. It's going to hold it in the mouth for you. You can position it, and wherever you position it, it's stable and it stays. So now that frees up both of our hands, one for the HVE and one for ultrasonic use. Now, during COVID here, she actually came out with two new products, and I don't know how she did that so quickly, but on top of that, she also now came out with the HVE Assist, so it's going to hold, that's that middle one with the funnel there. It's going to hold your HVE hose, and she created an adapter that is autoclavable, and it's similar, I guess, to your extra oral evacuators that's going to grab that extra aerosol that escapes from the mouth. Now, I haven't personally tried that, and I don't have any studies on it, but I did see some videos of it grabbing aerosols, you know, from a mouth. So that could maybe be something to look into. And then I'm definitely going to recommend that you look into the Infinity hose. So her hose is very similar to the PureVac hose. It's very light and ergonomically friendly, but really cost effective. So if you're not going to be getting into one of those systems like the PureVac or the Newbird system, but you're wanting to use a traditional HVE a tip, then I would suggest getting your hygienist the Infinity hose. So take off your existing HV hose. This is going to replace that. And now you've got a nice light hose for your hygienist to be good ergonomically long-term.
Hey, so
this
is Christina. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to, before we moved on, for the cordies, there was some chat going on. Can it be sterilized? How do we take care of that wristband? What do we do with that?
It can, yep. It can be sterilized, autoclavable, and or disinfected. So both is acceptable.
Okay.
So you basically can wear the same one all day depending on what you're utilizing it for. And you're going to wipe it down just like anything else in your room that is not a critical instrument. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But you can buy multiple ones and autoclave them as well. Okay, so I just want to show you a little video just to show you how the assist arm works on the back of the chair. Super easy to install. And if anyone is interested, they do have a discount code for $40 off of that. It's LVE2016, and you can do that on their website.
Hello, everyone. I wanted to pop on here to show you a new invention that I came across that I think is going to be very helpful in our hygiene rooms going forward and having to use high evacuation for aerosol control. So this is like having an assistant in the room. It's going to hold your low volume saliva ejector for you so that you have two open hands for your aerosol control and your high evacuation and your ultrasonics in the other. This is the A-Flex assist arm. It is very easy to install. You put it onto the back of the chair. You do just back of the chair and just a little bit of a turn. Once it's suction cupped on there, it's good. It's not coming off. Now the arm is very, very flexible. You put it into any position that you want and it stays there. So let's pop our low volume onto here. And you'll see now this is going to maneuver right into the back of the patient's cheek, into the back of the mouth. And it's going to take care of all of our saliva and our water fluid removal. Because as we know, our high evacuation takes care of the aerosols, but it's very difficult to use our high evacuation for our fluid control. So having this in there, patient control, you're not having it, some people loop it out of the side of their cheek and it falls on the floor. Not the most comfortable for a patient. This is much more comfortable and really easy to use.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you my top pick. So, you know, what can we add together to make the perfect storm of HVE management for our assistant or for our hygienist? So I would say the PureVac in terms of aerosol management would be my choice. I love how light it is. With your low volume suction attached to your assist arm and with the cordies holding your hose. And now if you're not wanting to go into a system, but you're going to stick with your traditional HVE, whatever that may be your choice, then I would recommend the lighter hose and with the cordies and your low volume being held by your assist arm. I just want to give a 2 minutes here, a little bonus section on. So we can't use aerosols for now. Probably we're going to be mostly hand scaling. What is that going to mean and what are the considerations for hygienists right now? So I want to say now is the time that we need to be evaluating your hand instruments. Okay, we need to go back to the office. We need to have a look through. We need to realize that, you know, if we can't rely on our ultrasonics right now, that is what, you know, did all the heavy work for us. We need to match our hand instruments then to the job at hand. So typically our hand instruments were complementing our ultrasonic scalers, and now they're going to be doing all the work. So what are the things that we maybe want to look at or change? So obviously we want to consider, are they well maintained? Are they too thin? Are they sharp? Are we maybe going to be needing to add additional instruments to our armamentarium? So With this being said, I think it's important that we understand now more than ever the quality of our hand instruments is going to be important. If we want to have effective and efficient calculus removal, if we want to reduce clinician strain, doctors, if any of you are out there listening, this is for you. Your hygienists are going to need more time to sharpen. Now, this was always a concern for hygienists. You know, I never have time to sharpen. My instruments are always dull. You know, they're just not going to be able to do a job with dull instruments. So please make sure that they have the time to sharpen. And hygienists, take a look through those kits. If your instruments are looking like this, if they are thin and look like they're about to break off in the mouth, we need to recycle those babies. We need to get those out of there because we're going to be working on heavier calculus. We're going to be working on people that are overdue and have way more calculus than maybe they normally do. We need to match our instrument to the job. So just going to quickly go over what exactly maybe am I wanting to order or think about that I want a specialized kit for some of these heavier cases because you don't have the option to use your ultrasonic. So we want to be having rigid sickles, rigid universals, and rigid Gracies. A lot of hygienists don't even own a rigid in their office. So the H533 is a really great one. It's a straight sickle on one end and a jaquette on the other. Really great for a heavy band of sheet calculus on your mand interiors. The Montana Jack, everyone's familiar probably with the Montana Jack, but a lot of people don't realize it actually comes in a rigid. So order a few of those for your kits, or again, just have one specialized kit for that heavy case when they come in. On the bottom, the Montana 4-5 is a posterior sickle. It has a similar angulation. It's kind of like the big brother to the 204S. It is designed to be more rigid with an extended terminal shank to have better interproximal access. And your universals are typically on the more rigid side anyway, so whatever your choice of universal is. If you like the Barnhart's, those do come in rigid. You can access that. I really like on the bottom, the Mini-Me. I've actually replaced all of my SG12s with the Mini-Me. It's a universal anterior, and it has a mini blade on one side and a standard or traditional on the other. So having that shorter blade gives you just that little bit less flex, so really great for a ledge or a band of calculus. And our Gracies, this is really number one, really key hygienist. You're going to be wanting to order some rigids in your Gracies. Our Gracies naturally have more flex in them, and you're going to need that rigid shank to be able to manage that heavier calculus. So I love PDT. I wanted to be able to share with you that they have been thinking of hygienists and the difficulties that may lie coming ahead for them. So they put together actually a kit specifically with that in mind. They call it the First Line Kit. And it's going to include your cassette and 5 instruments of choice from those rigid line. And you'll actually get a free Montana Jack when you order that. So you can check them out on the website and you can order that from any of your dental dealers. So I just want to end with this. Hard times are like a washing machine. They twist, they turn, they knock us around. But in the end, we come out cleaner, brighter, and better than before. So I do want to say, I know that we have some hard times and you know, it's daunting to think of all the change. No one likes change, but let's persevere. I know that we can get through, and in a few months, we're probably going to look back and realize that we made it through to the other side of our new normal. So thank you for joining us, and I appreciate everyone being here. If you have more questions or you want to reach out, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram or my website.
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm back in hygiene school. I learned so much again, such good reminders.
And I think that's the important thing for everyone, right? We get in our comfort zone and we kind of forget what we are taught. A lot of what I teach and in my lectures is bringing us back to the basics of, you know, why is there such a disconnect from what we were taught in school to what we're actually doing out in regular practice? And a lot of what I teach brings us back to that. So
a lot of comments about how refreshing it was and so informative, and people are really appreciative.
Being a dentist as well, trying to understand the importance of how different it is for a hygienist, how much you go through, how much is involved into this. A lot of those times you're going through the instruments, Chris, and it really was almost foreign in a lot of the conversations, the things that you go over. I mean, there's so much value to what's going on. But even I sat here just going, this is awesome. My wife's a hygienist. My sister's a hygienist. I got 6 on staff for myself. I mean, this is huge. So those hygienists that are paying attention, by the way, this went from about 1,300 people to 2,000. So yeah. Congratulations. You've got 2,000 people on now. Nice. For those hygienists that are out there, you guys are incredible. And please let your dentist know the things that you need. And hopefully we're not dumb enough to say no.
I mean, it's a hard transition right now, right? I understand that everyone's in a financial hardship, but I mean, at the end of the day, we, you know, with the hand scaling, it's only our hand and the instrument that's going to do the work. So if we don't have the proper instrument, it's just not going to work. It's going to be uncomfortable for the patient. We're going to be burnishing calculus on. We're not going to do the job that we want to do. So we need what we need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple questions as I came on that I want to just check. Some people were wondering, is there a difference, or can you speak to the difference between the aerosols created from a piezo versus Cavitron?
I haven't seen any specific studies that are showing that there's a huge difference. I've seen stuff that say that actually it's very comparable. Okay. And actually, there's some really interesting studies that actually show even when you, whether you turn down the water flow or not, that the aerosols are actually still almost the same. So in our mind, I think we always think about the fluid, right? We're thinking the fluid, but it's the actual mechanical what's happening with the ultrasonic or the piezo that is creating the aerosol itself. So keep that in mind. You know, it's not that, oh, you think to yourself, I'm just going to turn the water way down and there'll be less aerosol. That's not actually how it works. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then how would you address a question that just came in? So how do you justify polishing then? If we're saying, you know, we shouldn't be using the Cavitron, and polishing is also going to create aerosol there.
Polishing actually, some people have said, creates more aerosol than ultrasonic use. So I know for us in Canada right now, they say no polishing or ultrasonic. So in my mind, if that's what you're trying to do is limit, I always think, let's think about risk to benefit, right? So is your polishing an absolute necessity? I think ultrasonic use would be more important than a polish. So if you're not wanting to use your ultrasonic, but then you're going to pick up your polisher, you're in the exact same boat in my mind. So I feel like, you know, if we're going to limit one, we should kind of limit them all until we know, you know, whatever the guidelines and the research is showing us that's safe. You know, but obviously if we have, you know, while you're polishing, keep that in mind. There are aerosols absolutely that are produced. So using your high evacuation while you're polishing, it's something no one ever thought about before, where we thought about using high evacuation with ultrasonic use, but with the polisher, not so much. Mm-hmm. Now we know better. Yep.
Are you able to repeat some of the codes that you gave out earlier for the different cords and the AFLAX and whatever it is that you had? I know people missed them and wanted to know what those codes were.
Sure. So I didn't actually give a code, but so the Cordies, if you go to cordies.com, like they just have their own website. You can't buy them through a denture dealer. It's just directly from the website.
Okay, got it.
Cordies. And then the AFLAX Assist Arm is the same thing. They don't sell right now through a dental dealer. It's just direct. Now, what I love is both of these companies are owned and founded by hygienists. So it's like they know where we've been. They knew that there was a need for these things. So it's really cool. They're selling them just direct from their website at this time. I have to go back in my, what I'll maybe do is I'll post it on your Facebook.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'll post the discount code and the two websites or the few websites that I talked about.
That would be great.
There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.